Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, light of the world. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We worship today in quite a different way. Circumstances surrounding us have dictated that. But nonetheless, we still worship. It may be uncertain to us in the next days, weeks, and or months, and what they will bring because of this virus. But we can use this as a lesson in our daily lives. We can choose to heed the warnings and do what we can to keep safe for ourselves, our family, and others. We can help each other so that we hope soon we can return to normality and to our everyday tasks. But we can also choose what some have done before. We can hoard goods, claim this to be a hoax. We can blame the media and the government and continue to complain about how our lives have been made inconvenient. The choices we make in regard to this health crisis today depend on our interpretation and how we see the situation. Much like in the children's sermon, it's our point of view and our perspective. So once there was a church that they were doing a tremendous remodeling job. They had not only their church, they had outbuildings, cottages, they had a library within their church. So the priest went to a group of nuns and asked them if they would be willing to help. Of course, the nuns said, "Yes, we will. What do we need to do?" So the priest was doling out the different tasks, and he chose two nuns and said, "Well, I would like for you guys to repaint the library." Two nuns were very happy and gracious, and they said, "Yes, we'll do that." They went out, they got all of their supplies. They went down to the library, they closed all the doors and everything, got the lights the way they needed them, and then they looked at each other, and they're dressed in their full habits. And they thought, this might not be a good idea to be painting while we're wearing our garments. So they said, "Well, nobody else is going to be around, so let's just take the habits off. We'll be in our underwear, but you know, no one else will be in here." So about an hour, hour and a half later, a knock comes on the door. Stunned, they turn and look at each other. Yes? Who is it? The answer from the other side says, "Blind man." They look at each other a little bit. "Blind man. Okay. Come on in." The guy walks in, notices their attire and says, "You ladies look nice in your underwear." Walks over and starts putting up these giant Venetian blinds in the windows. Viewpoint. Perspective. I'm pretty sure that these two women and the blind man were not expecting what happened. Quite a different perspective for sure. So today's gospel also provides a different perspective of daily life, seeing the light physically and seeing the light spiritually. Too often, remaining blind to see the truth for what is set before us, we're challenged more by our spiritual blindness than any physical blindness. Often we're not quite sure about how to follow Jesus and how to show his purpose in our lives. We fall away. We sin, forgetting that there is a light before us. Since the beginning of this church year, we've been told of Jesus' birth, his early years, the beginning of his ministry, selecting his disciples, training his disciples, his miracles, and his teachings. In the midst of all this, we have heard several Sundays about the light coming into the world. We heard John the Baptist claim the light of the world was among us and that we should heed his word. So we've heard that Jesus is the light of the world for quite a while now in the gospel lessons. John's gospel today is a long narrative, but But it centers on both kinds of blindness, the physical and the spiritual. John's account shows Jesus coming to the people as a man, a prophet, a man from God, and the Son of Man. Each of these referenced directly or indirectly in the gospel today. As the scripture begins, Jesus encounters a beggar, a man who is blind since birth, lacking physical sight. His disciples ask Jesus why the man was blind, thinking like many of the time that the blindness was a possible curse or punishment because he or his parents had not lived a moral or just life. Jesus quickly tells them that the man was blind because of not blind because of his own sin or his parents' sin, but so that God's works might be revealed in him. Jesus continues to say that we must work in the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Then he said he was the light of the world and began the miracle of giving sight to the blind man. This was an opportunity to share God's love and compassion among the people. Using spit and dirt, he formed mud, spread it over the man's eyes, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did as Jesus had told him, and he was healed and able to see. He regained his physical sight because he believed. Since the man has not yet seen Jesus, though, he couldn't describe him very well in any other way except to tell what Jesus had done for him and what Jesus had told him to do. In the minds of the people around at the time, it must have been an astonishing thing to behold someone being cured of blindness, especially since it was a man who had been blind all of his life. They must have thought that this was an impossibility. It had never been done before, in turn questioning whether it was in fact the same man as before, the same blind man they had seen and passed daily, possibly for years. Today, such instances do happen. They happen quite frequently in some ways, though it is because of medical science. Now, some people believe that medical science brings miracles as well. On December 31st, I woke up with a noticeable spot in my vision. I saw my eye care doctor group first, where I was told there was a problem with my retina. I went from that doctor to a retina specialist. My vision had been impaired a bit, but not as much as it would after the surgery. But later that afternoon, I was in surgery. So from waking up until about 3 o'clock, I had been told, this is what we need to do. I had questions. The medical professionals answered my questions, put me at ease. I wasn't interrogated like the blind man. By God's grace, I am continuing to heal at this point. But why have I been healed? I have been healed by God's amazing grace and power, the gifts and talents that he gave to the surgeon, the gifts and talents that he gave to all of the doctors, all of the nurses, everyone that took care of me. I am also healed by the many, many prayers of family and friends. But again, through the grace of God. So even so, with all that I've gone through, I haven't experienced anything close to what the blind man faced throughout his life, nor the miraculous healing that he received at the hands of the light of the world. After Jesus heals the blind man in the scripture, he's noticeably absent. From verses 8 to 34, he's absent. During those verses is when we hear the blind man being asked by the people, including the Pharisees, how he was healed and who had healed him. Some are even unsure that this is the blind man at all. The man's questioned, his parents questioned, and he's questioned yet again. Finally, being removed from the synagogue. In our time, that is the equivalent of being excommunicated from the church. So here's a man that was blind but now sees, and a group of people who could see but were blind to the truth. A group of people who focused not on the miracle healing, but they were more focused on Jesus working on the Sabbath. The Pharisees continued to attack this man's story and the purpose of Jesus as if a crime has been committed, not a miraculous healing. So which of these people has seen the light? Later, Jesus finds the man after hearing of him being expelled from the synagogue and asked if he believed in the Son of Man. And the man replied, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus responds, "You've already seen him, and you're talking to him right now." The man immediately says, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. There's the point that the Pharisees missed: the spiritual light. This formerly blind man was able to tell him his story, then was made not only to see, but to see Jesus and believe and worship him, the spiritual light of the world. Jesus himself told us that he came into the world, born of the flesh, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. So how easy is it for us to focus on the wrong things in life? Really easy. The past few weeks have shown us challenges in the workplace, healthcare, and marketplaces. Our current normal is not very normal. We look at what people are doing, hoarding toilet paper, selling it on eBay, a tractor trailer with 18,000 pounds of toilet paper confiscated. And we sit back and think how ridiculous this is. And we think about how bad this is. But do we actually go out and do something about it? Have we gone out taking the commission that Jesus gave the disciples to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you? To go out and spread God's love. To go out and help people. For some of you in this room and out there listening or watching today, you've got students that have been at home for a week. Hopefully by now you have not suspended them from your homeschool and you have not transferred them to another teacher's class. But yes, it is an inconvenience. Our students, especially those that are seniors in high school and in college, this is rough for them. This is their semester to cruise into graduation. This is their time to kind of live it up, get the pats on the back, the attaboys and the attagirl awards. This is the time for them to be recognized. And they're missing out. They're not getting to socialize face to face with their friends. They're not getting to learn face to face with their teachers and their peers. They're not getting to eat cafeteria food in the cafeteria, which for most of our kids, especially high school, it's not about the food, it's about the company you keep. All of these things are seemingly devastating. Parents have had to make plans for childcare during these times that would normally be set aside for the school. As a parent, knowing that your child is at school, you generally don't worry about them because you know that there are people in that building that are caring for your children. This is different. There are many other parts to this story, but all in all, are we focusing on what is best or just what is best for us? Maybe instead of using the site that focuses on complaints, distrust, greed, lack of compassion for each other. We should use our spiritual sight to appreciate what we have right before us: our families, our homes, our friends, even the schools, our churches, and most importantly, Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. Jesus' invitation to us daily is to use our spiritual sight. We have opportunities to shine and to serve and to share God's love with others. Jesus invites us not only to see, but to walk in the light of the world. So let's take advantage of that invitation and let Jesus Christ, the light of the world, shine on us. Amen.